Good morning.
Summer crew. We're on a light cruise, aren't we? Well, let's all move back. I love it. It's a portable thing. I've always had a discomfort for pulpits. And back in, I think it was January, February, I preached at a church up in Earthville. And I don't know what the place used to be, but platforms like this high, you know? And so I'm up there on a little podium on top of it, and it's like, you know, you're really looking down at people, you know, and genuinely. And so you're so far up, you can't really see the facial expression. So I'm not sure they're going to be down here, and I hope it's okay with you guys. If it's not, you'll get over it. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for hope. Thank you for joy, the blessing of grace that you have shown us, the salvation you have given us. We give you praise, Lord, glory. Ask that every heart here would be open, Lord, to receive the word today. And I pray that you would bless the word as it is spoken, and would fill their hearts and minds with peace, hope, joy, and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning one of those fascinating things happened. Donnie reads the scripture for communion. We don't talk ahead of time. In fact, there's not even going to be any scripture up there, so nobody knew I'm reading the exact same scripture. So that means the Lord really wants you to hear it and try to get it in. So let's operate under that assumption. 1 Peter 1 through verse 7. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. I like that. May grace and peace. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What a hope. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Guess where we're at? In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our need of hope, that's what I'm talking about. Our desperate need of hope, all of us. Where there is Jesus Christ, there is hope. The old Roman saying, which is still used a lot today, while there's life, there's hope. I guess if you're an EMT, that's pretty important if you're in an emergency room. It has an element of truth to it, you know. They're still living, there's hope that they could be revived, there's hope that you could do something. But it doesn't have any guarantee of certainty. None whatsoever. It's not the fact or the existence of life that determines hope, but it's the faith of life determines hope. A Christian believer has a living hope, as it says. As we just read in 1 Peter, because his faith and hope are in God. The Christian has a faith and a hope. It's not in themselves. It's not in the EMT. It's in God. This living hope is the major theme of Peter's first epistle, his first letter. He's saying to all believers, be hopeful. Now, the 1832 Webster Dictionary defines hope in the first definition as a desire of some good, accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it. A slight expectation that you will get that good you're hoping for. Or a belief that it is at least obtainable. Hope is different from a wish or a desire. This is how it's different. Hope implies expectation of obtaining the good desired or the possibility of possessing it. My hope is more than just that wish. Hope, therefore, always gives pleasure or joy. Think of that. Hope always gives pleasure or joy, whereas a wish or desire may produce or be accompanied by pain and anxiety. Disappointment, heartache. I'll remember from perhaps the Blues Brothers movie, a little joke about the wish sandwich. Have you ever had a wish sandwich? Somebody probably has. A wish sandwich. You have two pieces of bread and you wish you had some meat. See? You're disappointed. Unless it's good organic grass-fed butter in there. You know? You want something. And you're disappointed. You're unhappy. But hope is not like that. Hope does not disappoint. They're not the same thing at all. Wish and desire based on thoughts and emotions. Wish and desire is based on your thoughts, your thinking, and your emotions. Whereas hope is based upon Jesus Christ, who does not disappoint, who does not let us down. As we saw from the scripture reading in 1 Peter, which is a letter of hope and encouragement, even though the theme of suffering runs throughout this letter, it is hopeful. There is also the theme of glory in the letter. One of the encouragements that Peter gives all the suffering saints is the assurance that their suffering will one day be transformed into glory. Our suffering one day will be transformed into glory. That is our hope. This is possible only because the Savior suffered for us and then entered into His glory. Peter is the first, he's first of all, the apostle of hope. Just as Paul is the apostle of faith and John is the apostle of love, Peter's focus is on hope. As believers, we have a living hope, because we are trusting in a living Jesus Christ. This hope enables us to keep our minds under control and hope to the very end. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, prepare your mind for action. Prepare your mind for action. And be sober-minded, serious in your thinking. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's so much in there. That alone could be an entire sermon. Control your mind. Fix yourself soberly. Set your hope on the grace. Grace only comes from Jesus Christ. Grace, the unmerited favor resulting in that eternal life. Hope produces anxiety that is associated with the fallen world that we live in. Hope makes a lot of pain go away. Hope brings about peace It's transformative. We need hope. Anxiety of rejection and death in opposition to hope of acceptance and eternal life. We have rejection and death, the world, and acceptance and eternal life from Jesus Christ. Big contrast here. We must not be ashamed of our hope in Jesus, but be ready to explain it and defend it. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. And a lot of times people forget that, gentleness and respect. Years ago, I saw a skit. The skit was called Bible Thumper. It was kind of hilarious, really. The drama team was at the church, and they were doing it. And there's this guy walking along. He's unsaved, and he needs Jesus. And a guy jumps out from under behind the pulpit, and he's got a Bible that's like this big. And he goes, boom, knocks him down on the floor. That's the ultimate Bible thumper. No. Get him with the Bible. Knock him out. There's no gentleness in there. Although, I have been known to advocate thump therapy for some people, but it's not legal, so you have to be very careful. Especially with teeth. Although some people, and I'm sure he would admit, could use a little of that. But, another topic. Like Sarah, Christian wives can hope in God. 1 Peter 3:5, for this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands. Holy women who hope in God. Since suffering brings glory and because Jesus is coming again, we can indeed be hopeful. Since suffering brings glory, and Jesus is coming, and I want you to get a hold of that, because that's the truth. And that truth creates a lot of hope and a lot of joy if it's in you, if it's part of your thinking. But suffering does not automatically bring glory and the blessing to God's people. Suffering doesn't automatically do that. Some believers have fainted and fallen away in times of trial and have brought shame to the name of Jesus Christ. There is no glory in this. Without true hope, all there is sadness and despair. That's all there is. It is only when we depend upon the grace of God that we can glorify God in times of suffering. It's only when we depend upon the grace of God and we glorify God when we suffer. Where is our hope? Well, we really need hope. Is there a connection between hope and grace? Yes, there is. Peter talks about hope in his first epistle, but also emphasizes God's grace and says, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. 1 Peter 5:12. In fact, the word grace is used in every chapter of 1 Peter. Grace is God's generous favor to undeserving sinners and needy saints. I mean, that's all of us. Everybody in this room. When we depend upon God's grace, we can endure suffering and turn trials into triumph. It's grace alone that saves us. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, we read that. God's grace can give us strength in times of trial. Grace enables us to serve God in spite of difficulty. With God's grace, Paul says, His grace is sufficient for me. Paul was suffering. There's a lot of hypothesis about what it was, but he prayed to have a thorn in his flesh taken from him. It was obviously bothering him. Some people believe it was his eyes. Other people believe the thorn in his flesh, the messenger from Satan, was some demon who followed him around, stirring people up, causing them to be beat, stoned, stomped, spit on, everything you could imagine. Now, that's a real thorn in the flesh. You know, you're here preaching the gospel, and all of a sudden they're chasing you with rocks. Not good. Or losing your eyesight when you love to read, like Paul. The scriptures were very important to him. That quiet, introverted guy just loved to read. That he was surprised when the Holy Spirit came over him, filled him with that boldness, and he found himself standing in front of all those people, talking all the time, proclaiming the truth, being chased out of town all the time. What a change for him. Whatever begins with God's grace will always lead to glory. Whatever begins with God's grace will always lead to His glory. So what is the connection between grace and hope? They're separate Greek words. They're two different things. They are not the same at all. Yet, without God's grace, there is no hope. Without the grace, there is no hope. So one hope is contingent upon the existence of grace. If you are not walking in grace, you will not have hope. You will not have hope. You will be depressed. You will feel frustrated. You will be worrisome, anxious, because you're wishing a lot. That's the connection. Grace comes from Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven, is necessary for hope. H.L. Mencken, known as the Sage of Baltimore, was and is by a lot of people regarded as one of the most influential American writers in the first half of the 20th century. H.L. Mencken, that was his name. He was a cynical writer, and he defined hope this way: a pathological belief in the occurrence of the impossible. Well, that's me. I'm pathological. I don't even have a PhD, so I can declare it. A pathological belief in the occurrence of the impossible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I have that pathological belief in the occurrence of the impossible. I believe that. Such a statement by Mencken demonstrates a failure to understand God's grace. It also shows total unbelief in God. This man was an atheist. No wonder he was so popular in the big cities, right? Fortunately, the definition of Mencken does not agree with the New Testament meaning of the word. True Christian hope is more than "I hope so." I hope so. Jesus used the word hope. When you loan somebody money, you hope he'll pay you back. Hope it doesn't rain all week. I like the rain, but I hope it doesn't rain all week. It is a confident assurance of future glory and blessing by way of the grace of the living God. It is a confident assurance in future glory and blessing. Hope is, I have an assurance in the glory and the blessing and the eternal life and the peace and the joy and the happiness, the salvation of Jesus Christ. It's a lot more than I hope so. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. A foretaste, an expectation in the future, a knowing. In Jeremiah 14:8, we hear the prophet call God the hope of Israel. be cool way back then in the Old Testament. And the Apostle Paul in the New Testament affirms Jesus Christ is the hope. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. Christ Jesus, the basis. You know, supernatural power and strength and might and glory of the Creator of the universe and His love for us. That brings about the hope that we have, the joy we have. In Colossians 1:27, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of His mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glorious things, peace and the joy. The unsaved sinner is totally without hope. You know that? The unsaved, they may say, I'm happy, but they have no expectation of glory, of hope. Ephesians 2:12. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and stranger to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Without God, no hope. So, if a sinner dies without Christ, he will be hopeless forever. We know of and have heard the title Dante's Inferno. It's a book, actually even a movie, which refers to hell. Dante gives an inscription over the world of the dead in his book that reads, abandon all hope who enter here. Abandon all hope. Anyone who enters here, abandon all hope. No purgatory, no halfway, no get prayed out, no collect $200, go past jail. You're there. It's over. Abandon all hope. There's nothing in your future that can be done. I always ask people who are unbelievers when we're talking and they're ridiculing me because of my superstitious faith. What is there in hell that you want? They look at me like, there ain't no hell, you idiot. Well, I said, one of us will be wrong if I'm wrong. You're wrong. You're toasty. Forever. It's not good. The confident hope that I have in Jesus Christ gives us the encouragement and the strength we need for daily living. The confident hope, not in us, not in our ability, not in anything that we can do, not in Rick, not in Bubba down the street. It doesn't make any difference. The hope in Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, the Creator of the universe, that's what makes the difference. It doesn't put us in a rocking chair. Our hope isn't for making it easy. We don't sit in a rocking chair in front of the TV where we complacently wait and wait for the return of Christ. We sit there rocking and go, maybe Jesus will come back today. Wonder what's all in Gunsmoke today. Wonder what Beth Hagen's up. Kick back and relax, right? It's not about that. Instead, it puts us in the marketplace, in the malls. Hope puts us in the battlefield, where we keep on going when the burdens are heavy and the battles are hard. Hope propels us along. When the going gets tough and the tough get going, that happens because of hope burning inside of them. Too many today are going when it gets a little tough. See you later, man. I didn't sign up for this. Hope is not a sedative. It doesn't calm us down. It's a shot of adrenaline. It pumps us up. It's a blood transfusion. It energizes us. Hope sets us on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Like an anchor, our hope stabilizes us when the storm is blowing. But unlike an anchor, it moves us forward. It propels us. It doesn't hold us back. It keeps us stable, but it pushes us on in the right direction. In Peter's thinking, everything begins with salvation. Our personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It all starts with being saved. If we know Jesus Christ as Savior, and to know Him as Savior means to know our need for a Savior. Because if you don't believe you need a Savior, and you can't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're like so many people that just say, yeah, He existed, He was a good man, they killed Him. If we know Jesus Christ as Savior, then we have hope. If we have hope, then we can walk in holiness and in harmony. If you have hope, then you should not have any problems submitting to those around us in society, in home, and in the church family. If you have hope, you will be under authority with a gladful, rejoicing heart, not thinking what a burden it is. Keep in mind that salvation and submission are preparation for suffering. Salvation and submitting prepare us for suffering. When we place ourselves aside for somebody else, when we set ourselves aside for Jesus Christ, we are being prepared for suffering. But if we focus on Christ, we will always overcome. And God will transform suffering into glory. See, submission and salvation prepare us for suffering. But if our focus remains on Jesus, all of a sudden, rejoicing and glory take place. So all the stories actually written by historians of Nero and others after him, burning the Christians, feeding them to the lions, and they would stand together and hang on the cross singing hymns, rejoicing. It made the soldiers, it made Nero furious. So he'd have them run them through the spear so he'd set up the singing. The whole idea was to have them die slowly, suffering painfully, burned, alive. But they'd start singing, praise to God, and he couldn't stand that, so he'd have them arrows or spears, put them out. It's really good because it's a lot better than burning alive on them. Okay. These stories of people just praising God in the middle of these horrible trials. Yeah, are we like that? I wish I could say I was. I'd sure like to be. I think I'm like everybody else. I'm spoiled, sniveling, whining. Thank God, no, he's not here. She goes, amen! One of the elements of Christian life that is lacking more and more today is described in Webster's second definition of the word hope. There's four or five of them. Back in 1832 when he did the dictionary, most of the definitions in the dictionary would be somehow tied to the Bible. It's pretty amazing. It would be scripture quotes. Definition number two, confidence in a future event. The highest degree of well-founded expectation of good as a hope founded in God's gracious promises. A scriptural sense. A well-founded scriptural hope is in our religion. Our Christian faith is based upon hope. The source of indescribable, indescribable, undeniable happiness. It's hope. The joy of knowing will be in eternity with Christ Jesus. Often the return of Jesus Christ is not discussed in church these days. People don't talk about the return. It's often due to those who have attempted to pick a date for his return, which is really sad. It's messed things up. If you start talking about Jesus' return, they immediately think that you're going to be like numerous people that pick the date. Well, I got to tell you, I'm excited about his return, and I have no idea when, but the Bible tells us to have our eyes open, be paying attention to things, the signs, and be excited. The error of their date picking should never stop our discussion of the event and the joyful hope that it brings. The errors of those who have tried to pick a date should never stop our discussing the event and the joyful hope that it brings. See, their mistakes are their mistakes. And I thought, well, I didn't talk to them. I listened to somebody the other day who talked about prophetic events, but he says he's so thankful for Hal Lindsey and so many others who pick dates because he knows better. He's not going to do it. He wants to talk about end times and prophecy and the hope and excitement of Jesus Christ and his return. But he ain't going to pick a date for nothing. Even if he has a guess, he isn't going to tell you the guess. He's certainly not going to pick the day and the hour. You can read. There's nobody knows that. So why bother to pick it? Without the return of Jesus Christ, we, all of us here, are indeed hopeless. Without that return, there is no hope, there is no joy. Without his return, we suffer. We are rejected by the world and all for nothing. So his return is extremely important. It's very important to me. We are to be aware of and look to the signs that are around us today, which point to that blessed hope. And tonight I'll be talking about signs and seasons, trying to get a little bit of a biblical theological explanation of what was meant, particularly in Genesis, which we just finished going through, for the stars and the sun and the moon were for signs and seasons. We'll get into some of that. The return of Jesus. Yeah, you know, some people say that there have always been signs. Isn't that good? There's always been signs. Every generation of believers since the first century has had signs to inspire their hope, to make them joyful, to make them excited, to make them look forward to Jesus Christ coming. Every generation. It's a good thing. Yes, there's always been hope. There's always been signs. Every generation is excited and says his return is soon. Return of Jesus. So the joy and expectation of hope come from knowing that he's coming back for us. From the time of Peter and Paul to today, this joy and this hope have been present. I believe that the signs today are indicating that soon and very soon we are going to see the King. You know the song, the hope of glory. In the last verse of 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, we're told that, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. But I have got to tell you something. That without faith, there's no hope. And without faith and hope, the love of most will grow cold. Now think about that. Without faith and hope, the love of most will grow cold. Anything that is not done in faith is what? Sin. Because of the prevalence of sin, the love of most will grow cold. So without faith and hope, the love of most will grow cold. That's not a leap. That's just actually an explanation of exactly what God is saying. If you do not have faith and you do not have a corresponding hope, then your love will grow cold. And the lack of fellowship and the lack of mercy and kindness and gifts of giving and loving and caring for people is just sad today. In every church that I know of, it's a difficult thing. It's just the 4 or 5%, maybe 6-7% of people that are doing. Where's your hope? We need hope. We need to encourage one another with the hope of His return. We need to be an encouragement to each other. We're supposed to greet each other with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. I'm terrible at memorization. I was telling the Sunday school class this morning, I'm terrible at it. I learned scriptural songs in a Great Commission Ministry Church, which was offshoot of Campus Crusade, so it's campus-based ministry. They had written all these songs that just actually were word for word, psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. And so I remember quite a little bit because of the songs. My brain works real good with songs. They knew that. But do we greet one another and encourage one another? Just feel the Lord coming back soon. Just get excited. No more pain, no more suffering. Brother, no more dialysis machines. Oh yeah. No more worrying about this, worrying about that. It's a reason to jump for joy. It's a reason to be happy. His return. And should I get hit by a truck tomorrow and not be here when he comes back? I'll just get there before you. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Verse 4. And he shall come with trumpet sounds. What we're talking about. Oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Get the message? We need hope. Desperately. We need it. And if you've been going through a trial, let me tell you, it is our hope in Christ that can turn that around. And we need to be here for one another. Please call one of the elders. Call me. Don't call after 8:30. I turn my phone off. You can leave a message. I'll get back to you in the morning. We're fussy like that. We fall asleep. We don't wake up in anything. There's a young lady we're going to pray for here in a minute. If you want to go ahead and get her. As the worship team comes up, I'd like you all to stand with me. Stand together. We do our song of invitation. I want to invite anybody to come up who, first of all, does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, does not have the eternal blessed hope, does not understand what I've been talking about, who thinks I'm just another guy with a pie in the sky by and by. Come forward. And if you're struggling with hope and you wonder where it's at and you want to talk, come forward as we sing a song of invitation. will come to her. So we don't drive her up front of them. You're going to see the doctor tomorrow. Neurologist. Are the elders, would you come here, please? We're going to pray for you. You know what that means? You're going to like it. You know what we're praying? Praying that God heal you. God cause doctors to be very smart. They'd be able to help. And that you would be happy, excited, be filled with power, run for joy. You want to do that? Give me your hand. Okay. Father, we just thank you so much for this precious daughter of yours. Lord, we lift her up and pray that by the power of your Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, you give complete life to every cell, every system, to every organ, to every function, to every tissue that she has. In Jesus' name, that she be completely healed from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, that there be no maladies. We rebuke all infirmity, sickness, and disease. We command that it be gone from her now in Jesus' name. We speak life to this body. We thank you for the doctors and pray for wisdom in their thinking, that they look and find nothing and rejoice in total healing. We give you the praise, Jesus Christ, for you are our healer. In your name we pray. Amen. Is that okay? Anybody else? The prayer request? Okay. Let's close your prayer. Get it, brother.
Thank you so much for the hope that we have. Father, we know that there's a time and a place for that hope. And Father, today we just thank you for the service we had here this morning and the folks that were here this morning. And Father, we just praise you for the grace that you gave each and every one of us. And Father, today we just ask you to be with those that are traveling and those that will be here again next week. And Father, we just know that you'll take care of them. And Father, we just hope that they have fun with their families. And Father, we just thank you so much for the praise that you give each and every one of us. We thank you for the blessings, Lord, that you give us and the eternal life that we have. And it's all in your name, in Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And all the people said amen. Whoa, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love never ends. And all the people said amen. And all the people said amen.